Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I have always believed that a meeting such as this is of great value. There could well be somebody here that has many questions as to what the Lord's will for them is. There's been a number of people after a missionary meeting that have advised us that they made the decision to go into the Lord's work in one of those meetings. And it may well be so here today. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and listen, it is the mercy of God that you and I are not in hell at this moment. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, and that means body, soul, and spirit, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, in English it says service. In other translations, it says worship. Reasonable worship. Now, a second reading, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And follow me. May God bless the reading of his word with what we have heard from our brother already. I am going to call this message the crises of the crossroads. When we were in Russia, we used to go as a family at times to the Russian Museum. There they had hundreds of the most glorious and beautiful paintings that I had ever seen in my life. The Russians seemed to have an ability to capture the tragedy and pathos of their life and put it down on canvas. There was one painting, it was a huge painting. It always caught my attention. It was the painting of a medieval knight. He is sitting on his horse, and the horse is worn to the point of exhaustion. His armor is dented and rusty. His lance has fallen, and the point is touching the ground. And he is at a crossroads. He's sitting there on his horse, wondering which way to go. What he can't see, what the artist painted for us, the observer, to see, was that farther down the road, there was a tombstone and a pile of bones. The message was very eloquent. It was saying, the wrong choice at the crossroads can lead to death and destruction and woe. Life is like that. We are all faced constantly with choices that are going to affect us for good or for ill, possibly for all your life. choice of a career. And I would like to say this. It is good if a person can choose a career that God the Spirit can use to bring the gospel to individuals that you live with, live amongst. The choice of a career, the choice of where to live, and the choice of who to marry. And I would like to say this. Marriage is a gift, a wonderful gift from God. But being single is also a gift from God. Last year, I was speaking down in Gander, Newfoundland. I made that statement. I mentioned that there were two young ladies that I knew, and they had basically made a decision up till this point that they would not marry, that they might serve the Lord completely. One of them is our own daughter, Sabrina. The other is Jill Avery. And I mentioned how being single is actually a gift from God. There was a young lady in that meeting. She came up to me afterwards in tears. She said, "You have no idea how much I have wanted to get married." Until today, what you said took the pressure off me completely. So what is a crossroads? There are some in this meeting that are at a crossroads, maybe all. A crossroads is a place where two ways meet. There was a Sunday school chorus when I was a boy. I met Jesus at the crossroads. Where the two ways meet, Satan too was standing there. And he said, "Come this way, lots and lots of pleasure I will give to you this day." But I said, "No, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me." The crises of the crossroads. First crossroads I remember in my own life was the crossroad of salvation. Like our brother Tom and like our brother Bill, we were talking at the interval. Our conversions are, you'd almost think that he had written mine and I had written his. They're that close. But that was the first real crossroads in my life. And like my brethren, I had heard the gospel since I was a little kid. In fact, my mother used to try and sing me to sleep. And she would take my pram, my baby carriage, she had a long string on it, and she would sing and push it down the hallway and reel me back in. She went through the Believer's Hymn Book, the green hymn book. She sang hymn after hymn, and just when she thought that her darling little boy, me, was asleep, she would tiptoe out, and I would open my eyes and roar. That's probably why I have such a love of music. Unfortunately, at this conference, I can't sing because I've got laryngitis. But I heard the gospel right from before I was old enough to understand. The Spirit of God worked in my life, and I'm just going to condense everything. I always believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I always believed he died on the cross for sinners. I always believed, right from my earliest years, that if I could only find a way to believe on him, that he would save me. And I used to sit with my fists clenched and say, "I believe." And sit, waiting for a feeling to hit. But one night, the Holy Spirit of God did something wonderful with an 8-year-old boy. An 8-year-old boy that was desperately struggling to believe terrified of going to hell. And what the Spirit of God did was this. It was almost as if He gave me a vision of the Lord Jesus on the cross. I pictured Him hanging there. The Spirit of God put into my mind this thought. David, there was a moment when it became your turn to have your sins placed on the Savior. And the moment I understood that, I just said, Lord Jesus, thank you. And I said, I trust you to keep my soul out of hell. Maybe somebody here and you're struggling. God did not send His Son to this world. The Lord Jesus did not come and suffer the agonies untold just to turn around and make getting saved hard. No, He did not do that. It's simple, trusting your soul, your soul's eternal safekeeping, into the hands of the Lord Jesus. The next crossroad in my life was the crossroad of dedication. That's why I read Romans 12 and 1. It was the crossroad that was going to determine the course of my life forever. I was saved as a boy of 8. I was 17 or 18, just drifting. Not getting into anything overtly bad, but just drifting. And one day, sitting in my parents' living room, I was reading Romans 12 and 1, and it suddenly struck me what was meant there. And I got down on my knees. I said, Lord Jesus, right now, I give to You all that I am, all that I'll have, all that I'll ever be. I present it to You as a living sacrifice. Please guide me. The Lord began to take that up. I began to develop an interest in the mission field. The stories of the 5 martyred missionaries had a tremendous impact upon me. The Lord brought Nancy and I together at the Arnstein Conference. We got married. I remember telling her one day about my exercise for the Lord's work. But you know, after we were married, I turned against the call. I remembered how it was in our home when my dad would be away for months at a time in meetings. And I was determined that my wife, and then we had 2 little girls, that they would never go through that. And there's something else that I battled with. I had the best job in the world for a person that loves to hunt and fish. I was a game warden. And you know, the brethren in Arnstein, they used to tell me, Dave, you get paid money for doing what we have to take our holidays and pay money to do. And it was true. That job became a snare to me. I remember mornings going out in the powerboat out onto Lake Nipissing. And the fog was just beginning to lift. And I would say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, thank You for such a perfect job. I never want to leave it. And a feeling of sorrow would settle down over me. And the thought went into my mind, this is not what You were called to do. It came down to the conference in 1977 at Arnstein. It seemed that every speaker was touching on the need for some person in the audience there to dedicate their life to the Lord's work. After the conference, one of my friends said to me, we all know who that conference was for, don't we? And you know, I knew I was being spoken to, but I could not make the decision. I was in an agony of soul. came down to hunting season. I was out in a patrol boat, and the fog and the snow came down. And I threw the anchor out, and I sat there, pulled my Bible out of my briefcase. And I began to read in the book of Jonah. I thought maybe Jonah, who I really identified with, will have something for me. You see, shortly after Nancy and I were married, she had to have some tests. And I had a horrible feeling that maybe she had cancer. And I made a vow to God. I said, if she is all right, I will serve you. And she was all right. And I translated that vow into being a help in the Arnstein Assembly. It wasn't enough. So we come back to sitting in the boat, reading in the book of Jonah. And what I read was this: remember to pay what you have vowed to the Lord. And in that instant, I realized that God could simply remove my wife and children by death because of my stubborn attitude. And I bowed my head and I said, Lord, we will go. Please guide us. We began to prepare for the mission field. We had to sell our house. And things were not moving at that time. It's amazing how the Lord will give you encouragement. I believe 100% in having confirmation. God uses His Word to confirm things that are His will. I remember reading one morning, this thing is established by God. He will shortly bring it to pass. Nancy called down to my office that morning at 10 o'clock, and she said, the house has sold. We had sent two letters, one to Doug Reed in Costa Rica, and the other to Brian Owen in Santa Lucia. We said we would go to the first place. Sometimes people wonder, how do you get guidance? Well, that's how we got it. We said, we'll go to the first place that answers. And you know, on a Wednesday night, Doug Reed called. He said, will the brethren in Arnstein commend you? I said, yes, they will. He said, then will you come down? And you know, everything suddenly came crashing down on me. This was a major crossroads in our life. To go out and live by faith. I remember as a boy knowing at a very early age where my dad's paycheck came from. And I used to go down to the mailbox every morning. And I would open it up and I would look at the letters that had come. I had an instinctive knowledge of the letters that had fellowship in them. And you know something? I was terrified to think of going out, leaving a government job, pension, and go out and live by faith. It's beyond me to do. The Lord very graciously gave us a verse. It was on the Choice Gleanings catalog, calendar for the day. This is how gracious God is. The verse said, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. And you know, that verse has been like an anchor to our soul. I just have to pause and ask Brother Kelly, what time am I done? Till 5. Oh, okay, thank you. I just wasn't sure. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. That verse has been an anchor to our souls. And I would say to anyone here, whoever finds themselves exercised about going out into the Lord's work, ask Almighty God for some kind of confirmation from His Word. Because many a time, when there has not been much coming in, we've gone back to that verse. We pasted it in our fellowship book. And we have gone back and looked at it and remembered how God made a promise to us. And he has kept that promise 40 years now in his service. So we went down to Costa Rica. We had to learn a new language. You know, I used to make a horrendous amount of mistakes learning Spanish. But you know something? If anybody here ever finds themselves in the position of learning another language, don't get up on your high horse when you make a mistake. Laugh at it. Because one night in prayer meeting, when I thought I was doing pretty good, and I was wanting to use what they call modismos, like sayings, Costa Rican sayings in Spanish. And I used one. I was wanting to tell the Lord about people who, because of their religion, feel that they have an in with God. And I used an expression which caused the assembled assembly to burst out laughing. And Doug Reed, he just went, well, I said amen very quickly and sat down. And I said, well, what did I say? He said, David, you were telling the Lord about a duck. And the duck was trying to get into heaven. Well, I thought it was funny. And so I laughed. You know, that was a turning point. Because after that moment, the Christians, when I would speak or pray, they would come with a list and they would tell me, here's your mistakes tonight. It was an excellent way to learn my Spanish. Well, we labored in Costa Rica for 16 years. Two of our four children were saved, were born there. Sorry. Yeah, two of our four were born there, two in Canada. All four got saved down in Costa Rica. You know, we loved Costa Rica. The thought of leaving it was not pleasant. And we had the greatest food that you can imagine. We had rice and beans, arroz y frijoles. And we had papaya, and we had platanos. Wonderful food. But you know, the Lord exercised both Nancy and I. It was basically at the same time. We were up on a furlough, and Nancy's exercise was to go to Russia. And she didn't tell me, because whenever the subject of Russia would come up, I would get very upset. I couldn't wait in high school to finish grade 13. I was going to join the U.S. Marines and go to Vietnam to fight communism. A friend that I went through school with all my public school and high school years, he graduated a year ahead of me. He was killed. And I began to think, what did he die for? The Lord put into my mind one day, lying on the floor, I was looking at some war books about Russia and all the carnage that happened in the Second World War. And he put this thought into my mind. David, you're to go to Russia. You know, I never said anything to Nancy, and she never said anything to me about what her exercise was, until we got back to Costa Rica after furlough. And one morning she said to me, I think the Lord would have us go to Russia. I was faced with a crossroads. Do I say anything, or do I just let it go? I said to her, I've had the same experience. We put it before the Lord. You know, we went down to Ecuador. We wanted our kids to see a more primitive mission field. And I was speaking in a jungle setting. It was the Shandia mission. Speaking in Spanish, it was translated into the Quechua language. About 700 people were at that conference. The rain was pouring down on the tin roof. It was an idyllic setting. About 700 natives had come up the Napo and Amazon River in their canoes. They were believers, most of them, and they sat listening to the ministry of the Word of God. They had put their little kids, it's about maybe 50 of them, sitting up at the front. And it was so they could keep their eye on their children. But you know, they began to sing. They began to sing, "Jesus loves me. This I know." I looked over at Sabrina. Sabrina had her head bowed. She was undergoing that moment of dedication of body, soul, and spirit to Christ. And I was undergoing a rededication because you have to keep this up to date. It's not just once. They began to sing, that assembled group, they sung that hymn. I'd never heard it sung so beautifully. "My life was given for thee. Thy blood, O Lord, was shed, that I might ransom be." And I thought to myself, this really is what it's all about. Dedication to the cause of Christ. And I remembered a statement that C.T. Studd had made. He said, "If Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then the highest thing I can do for him is to die for my God." And I hope that strikes a chord in somebody's heart here this afternoon, because it's so true. If Jesus Christ is God and he died for you, the highest thing that you could ever do for him is to give your life for him. That's where it coalesced into our minds about going to Russia. We went there, and Sabrina came over, and the long and short of that, she's been there now for, I think it's 12 years. Excuse me. And the Lord has blessed her work. But my point to one and all is this. You're going to find a crossroads in your life. And I would suggest you are going to find a crossroads in this conference. And the Lord, in his inimitable way, moving and looking down, we don't know who he has his eye on. But if you feel exercised about it, then could I suggest to you, begin by making that sacrificial presentation to the Lord Jesus of your body, soul, and spirit. You know, if I asked the ones here who were saved, when were you saved? I'm sure that you could give me a time when, a place where, and a manner how that you got God's salvation. Am I right? Now, I'm going to ask you this. Do you have a moment in your life's experience that you can look back to? A time when, a place where you were, and a set of circumstances that occurred when you, for the first time, presented your body, soul, and spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ for service. Because that is your reasonable worship. May God bless his word. And if there's somebody here and God has his eye on you, you're at a crossroads. Make sure you make the right choice. May God bless his word.